Welcome to Total Network Operations, the podcast dedicated to hardworking ops teams, NetOps and SecOps, who deliver and secure all the packets, the workloads, and the data. I'm your host, Scott Robon. And on today's episode, we're going to take a look at multi-cloud, automation, AI, how they're all changing everything about how we run and secure networks today. In today's sponsored episode with Palo Alto Networks, Monty Ganesan, Monty is going to talk us through some developments from Palo Alto Networks that help ops teams get and stay ahead of the curve on these issues. So let's get right into the conversation. Monty, welcome. Please introduce yourself and tell us your role at Palo Alto Networks.
Thanks, Scott. Super excited to be here. My name is Monty Ganesan. I lead product management for software firewalls here at Palo Alto Networks.
So yeah, no hard task for you there, I'm sure. Let's unpack this. Let's start with, you know, the conversations that you and I are both involved with around this daily struggle of network and security teams having fragmented visibility in multi-cloud environments. You know, we all have blind spots. What's your view of the single biggest security risks that are caused by this fragmentation?
Absolutely, Scott. That's something that I hear pretty much every day from our customers. You know, applications used to be, you know, centralized in data centers, and that started changing like, you know, several years ago. You know, they started getting fragmented into multiple clouds and different form factors as well. Think of customers that lifted and shifted their virtual machines, and a lot of them got modernized into container-based applications. And serverless kind of caught on after that. Now, sure. More and more, it's about AI ecosystem. Think of the LLM models they're connecting their applications to, and they're talking about the different data sources they have to hook up to for like RAG architecture. So this is a constantly evolving space, especially across multiple clouds. And the lack of visibility has hampered a lot of our networking customers as well as the security audience, right? The reason is, without comprehensive visibility, if you can't really see what type of assets are running and how they're all interconnected, what type of traffic patterns exist, it is really hard to figure out the right connectivity model or the right security model.
So, you know, as we've started to figure out multi-cloud as an industry, now we have AI workloads that we might be putting in neo clouds, and we might even be having shadow AI work happening here. So once, you know, we feel like we finally get ahead of something, and now it's getting more complicated. Let's dive into, you know, what types of visibility are you talking about? What are the things you really need to be looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. When I say visibility, traditionally just meant that I need to know what type of workloads I have, what type of applications I have. That's the table stakes. Now we're really thinking about improving the security posture. The reason why that is important is we have done the research and figured out that 82% of cloud security breaches are primarily due to lack of visibility, right? If that is so important, and we don't want to stop at the base layer of, let's understand what we have running. Rather, let's go multiple levels deeper, right? Like inventory is a great starting point. I talked about multiple types of application workloads and how they're connected and whatnot. But more importantly, let's understand the current communication patterns. To give some specific examples, right? Think of, let's say you roll out an application. And there are multiple directions these communications happen. Sure. What we commonly refer to as ingress, like incoming traffic out from the internet. This could be your end users, consumers of the application, your partners, and so on. Or even developers trying to make changes to the applications. Then comes egress. Now these applications, irrespective of the form factors and the workload types, a lot of times they have to legitimately talk out to some internet destinations, right? Think of public APIs they have to access.
Sure.
And even like software downloads and code changes and whatnot, right? And that's one model. And the most complex of this all is the east-west communication patterns, right? Traditionally, it used to be like a three-tier architecture where apps need to talk to databases, there is a front end and whatnot. Now it is fragmented in multiple ways, right? And these are distributed across not just multiple clouds. To your point, like edge clouds and neo clouds and so on, mm-hmm. You have to have an understanding of how the east-west communication patterns are happening across microservices, serverless, and LLM models, and agentic operations and whatnot. We need to understand the traffic patterns. And that is what I really mean by let's have comprehensive visibility of all things that are going out across your multiple clouds.
You know, if we thought the perimeter was already gone 10 or 15 years ago, right? Now we have this even more perforated machines talking to machines and high interdependency of resources spread across multiple clouds. It's only gotten more complex. So what are you doing to provide better visibility and better understand network posture problem with all these cloud assets across multiple clouds?
Absolutely. I would like to introduce what we call as CLARA. CLARA stands for Cloud and AI Risk Assessment. This is a complementary tool that we provide for all of our customers, right? Essentially, as long as they can provide the API credentials for their public clouds, private clouds, wherever they have workloads running, and we are able to actually ingest the logs and based on APIs, and there's no agentic, you don't need to install agents or anything here, but based on our understanding of all the inventory and how the traffic patterns are emerging, we can give them a comprehensive risk assessment report. Okay, here is like your 1,000 VPCs and VNets running across different clouds. And within those VPCs and VNets, you have these type of applications. So these are running on virtual machines, these are running on containers. Look like there are some serverless functions running here, ephemerally coming up and going down. And these are the traffic patterns. I talked about ingress, egress, east, west. Mm-hmm. And now expanding that to the new and emerging type of traffic patterns, which is all about AI, LLM, and agentic operations, and what type of inference data sources they're using, right? Kind of putting all these picture together into one comprehensive topological view, and will call out that hey, these are your security risks. Think of here, there is no firewall inspecting any type of traffic, right? There are applications that are freely talking out to internet destinations without any control. And what about these east-west patterns, right? Have you thought about maybe it is some type of development efforts that are going on where these applications are now hooked up to some LLM models? Do you know these LLM models, where they came from? Is that something that was downloaded out of, let's say, Hugging Face or some open source libraries?
Right.
Means what type of risks they have, right? So all these top questions that most of our customers have, so we thought about them and created this comprehensive risk assessment framework, and that is what we start off with for the solution for visibility problem you talked about, Scott.
And when you say inventory, just to be clear, you're not talking physical device inventory, you're talking inventory of workloads and what else?
Yeah, workloads and services, right? Yeah. And also all of the networking components that come along with it. And now when I particularly talk about workloads, these are the form factors, and they could be running either in public cloud or private cloud. Because from our vantage point, now we are looking at the security and connectivity or secure connectivity of application, right? For us, the center of gravity is all around the application footprint running in public or private cloud. All components related to that is what I really mean by inventory and visibility.
Well, very good. Thanks for that clarification. And we'll make sure the CLARA assessment tool is in the show notes so people can go straight to it. So if you go through the assessment, you get an idea of the outputs there, and that you show where you can get increased visibility, understand security gaps. What do you do with that information?
Absolutely, Scott. Great question. Now, this is the aha moment that we want to see from every customer, right? A lot of times, these are existing customers. Let's say they are running our NG firewalls or next generation firewalls in the cloud. Let's say VM series, Palo Alto Networks software firewalls, and they've been around for a while, right? Even for those existing customers, when they run these type of assessments, they figure out that their landscape is continuously evolving. They haven't really thought about all these emerging traffic patterns that we talked about, right? One particular example I would give is securing containers, right? Traditionally, if you put any firewall in the path and traffic is coming out of, let's say, Kubernetes cluster running a bunch of containers, and they're going out to internet, or they're going and talking to different databases or different sources, the moment they leave the Kubernetes cluster, you don't have visibility into any of those IP addresses. By default, NATing happens, and if you're trying to write traditional firewall rules, you really cannot protect those container traffic, right? And that's a good aha moment, right? And it will show to even our existing customers, sure, have you thought about this particular risk? Without the right set of policies, you're not going to protect those container traffic. And then we show other type of risks around, where else do they not have the right type of security controls? So yeah, that is where we think in terms of using that visibility for a purpose, and figuring out that the right type of security controls could be put in place. Just to expand on that, let's say they have understood the gaps now, and they're thinking in terms of, hey, how do I secure this new traffic patterns? I've never thought about this particular traffic pattern. I really want to make sure that all of the security controls are in place. And it's just not about layer 3, layer 4, allowed deny policies we're talking about. It's all about the advanced threat inspection and different types of analysis around what type of application traffic is flowing through the network, right? When it comes to that, we are also changing the way the firewalls are traditionally deployed, right? Especially in public. And we're talking about ephemeral workloads coming up, ephemeral traffic patterns emerging, and things are going across from cloud to cloud, cloud to edge, and this new cloud, like you mentioned. We really want to make sure that these firewalls are deployed in a fully automated way. And automation is an overused term. Let me expand on what we really mean by that. This is not just about, hey, how do we bring up a firewall? It's not about instance boot up and making sure that the software is loaded up and whatnot. That's table stakes. What we're really talking about here is end-to-end traffic automation. Think of, hey, I have an application running in a VPC one in AWS US West. Now, that needs to go talk to, let's say, an LLM model in Gemini running in, let's say, GCP in a completely different region. Now, those LLM models, let's say, they go have to go and infer to some type of data source that's sitting in another cloud, or maybe they're sitting in data center for some compliance reasons. Now, all three things on the fly, if we have to securely interconnect them and make sure that the right type of inspection policies are turned on these firewalls, we really cannot do this same way of deploying firewalls, right? This is where we introduced a solution at Palo Alto Networks called a multi-cloud security fabric. That way, we think in terms of end-to-end network automation. Or here, in this case, for this type of workload, the way we redirect the traffic is using this particular routing change in that subnet. Then it has to go to, let's say, a transit gateway in AWS. Then it has to go to a gateway load balancer. Or we need to create a new VPC for the firewall hosting. Then how do we interconnect them? You know, the traditional way is, let's go figure out some type of IPsec tunnels and BGP routing, and all that has been abstracted out. From customer perspective, if I'm operating this network, I want to make sure that point A to point B, this is what I want to secure. Let the solution take care of it, right? And that is what we really mean by an end-to-end automation and filling the security gaps here.
So I spend a lot of time talking about automation in network operations. And, you know, seeing the progress that we're making there is encouraging. But as I, you know, look and talk to people in the security arena and in the cloud arena, you can't deploy services without automation, right? The do-it-yourself, having to stitch up or configure things manually, you just can't keep up, right? So I think there's lots of good things that we can take from the security and the cloud operations world in network operations, especially around automation. Tell us more about the fabric. You know, what else needs to be considered there, and how does it support ongoing operations once things are established?
Now, you brought up an excellent point there, Scott, in terms of, you know, the need for automation. And customers have been trying it. It's not like it's a brand new concept, right? A lot of times customers write their Terraform scripts, for example, and say, now I have a Terraform module that figures out how all the networking changes need to be made in AWS. And then they realize that, hey, things have changed already. Because the basic foundation here is how we can leverage all of the abstraction layers given to us from a cloud provider perspective. And then you expand that out to, okay, how Azure works, how you expand that out to like Oracle Cloud and GCP and so on. It is very hard to keep up with simple automation. It's not just about scripting and terraforming your way out. The way we thought about it is like, let's build a common framework across this. Let's say the use case here is about securely interconnecting applications and securely inspecting all the traffic across all these clouds. Instead of writing individual automation script per cloud, if we have this common foundation, which is we as an independent software vendor here, we can work across multiple clouds. And in this case, the multi-cloud security fabric solution, it understands and it always keeps pace with individual cloud providers' APIs and figures out, oh, this has changed. Oh, here, the route table limit is not 1,000 routes. It's 1,200 routes now. All these little nuances that trip up those automation scripts, we have kind of abstracted it out. And from our perspective, customers can go to our common set of API framework or even our workflows to deploy all these things, right? That is why this is super powerful. And it's kind of automation on steroids is what I would say.
Yeah. It's machines attacking us, and we can't have the humans keeping up with the machines. We need the machines to fight the machines, right? So using automation is the primary way of doing that. And I think in the network world, you know, we think about problems like DDoS attacks, right? You know, those things that happen at scale, you can't expect ops people to go in and configure those firewalls to, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we had to do that. Now we just need these more automatic mechanisms to do that. We need to get into the agent discussion. You know, AI agents are coming more and more into fold here. What are you doing to look at agent behavior, and how do you utilize agentic mechanisms in this new system?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, agentic framework is about empowering our customers with the tool sets they need. We think in terms of, let's add those teammates, which is a concept of, it's not just about adding one more tool set, rather, can these agents really become teammates for our customers? Let me give an example, right?
Yep.
One of our customers mentioned they get about 2,000 tickets. This is a large bank, 2,000 tickets just to make firewall rule changes, right?
These are like wow.
Developers rolling out applications. Their application framework has changed. Now they have maybe opened up new ports, or now they're trying to interconnect these applications with new partners. So on and so forth, just to keep up, it's very, very hard, right? And they have tried different types of automation frameworks here, and it's still hard to keep pace. That is where we thought, hey, this is an excellent problem for our agents to solve, right? And we are rolling out multiple agents in the coming future. The first one we're thinking in terms of is like, let's give them some personas. First one could be like, let's think in terms of all of the networking changes, configuration changes on setting up route tables, setting up like IPsec tunnels, and monitoring the health of those IPsec tunnels. If certain basic things were to go down, can they do the first level of troubleshooting? Okay, is it a key mismatch? Is it a certificate expiry? Things that are well understood, even those kind of things our customers spend a lot of time on. Then taking it to the next level in terms of the firewall rule automation example I talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Where for well-known models, can we automatically add some rules in terms of how we understand this is a three-tier architecture, and then this is how the flows need to work. And this is a microservices architecture, and this is how the flows need to work. And we can figure out historically what flows have been going between these network components, and can we automatically do the firewall rules, kind of adhering to all of the zero trust principles. Only provide the minimal scope that is needed, and anything more, a human has to come in the loop and provide the exceptions, right? So these are very common things that we keep hearing about it. And last but not the least, this is not related to agentic in particular, but even like common day and operational tasks. Mm-hmm. So we have a tool called Cloud Path Tracer, which is nothing mm-hmm. but if point A cannot talk to point B, can I quickly understand where the problem is? You know, there are 8 different components in the path. Half of them are owned by the hyperscalers, and some of the components are owned by, let's say, other network vendors. And we have Palo Alto software firewalls in the mix. And is there a way to ensure that without having to go hop by hop to figure out where the problem is, can we automatically run those path tracing? Think of the traditional trace route, which kind of shows that, hey, where is the packet getting dropped? This takes it to the next level. It understands the route tables on every hop. It understands the policy tables of every hop, and then tells you that, hey, if this flow were to happen, this is exactly where it'll get dropped, because here is a security group ACL on this particular VPC that has a deny all policy. Is it intentional or not? You know, that's up to the human to solve. But these kind of things could be fully automated, and that's what we are focusing on.
Yeah, I think some of your comments on agentic approaches and, you know, the teammate or digital coworker, like I've seen that terminology become very common. I think some people want to go full on, give them avatars and make them, you know, look and behave like human beings. I don't feel like I need that, but I'm on the other end of the age curve. Maybe other people earlier in their career would be more comfortable with that. But, you know, it's definitely coming in and identifying agents by the tasks they perform, and even moving to models where, hey, I need that security AI agent in this meeting, right? And being actually treating them like they have an Outlook calendar, and I actually invite them into a particular call. That's not science fiction. That's already happening today in certain circumstances. It's fascinating. So be interested to see where you all take this as well. Now on the software firewall front, you know, I've kind of grown up in the world where, you know, the firewall was that appliance, and it was always just that one thing. Now we, you know, we see, especially in the cloud, you know, ephemeral firewall instances coming up from when we need them and turning them off when they go away, or sometimes remaining persistent. Anything new you want to call out in the architecture for what your next gen firewall functions are doing and how you're doing it from a software only implementation perspective?
Absolutely, Scott. This is near and dear to my heart. So Palo Alto software firewalls have been industry leading, right? Pretty much used by large enterprises for several years. Our goal is to kind of keeping this ahead of the curve, right? So last couple of years, we've been heads down to taking our existing portfolio of VM series and figuring out how that architecture could evolve, right? VM series is our software firewall, NG firewall that has been deployed across public and private cloud. So what we have done is the next generation architecture is called Prisma AIRS firewall in this case. We have unified multiple aspects into this next generation, right? What we really mean by that is all of the network threats that we all have known about, like advanced threat protection, advanced malware protection, and URL filtering, advanced, and all of those advanced DNS, all those are still applicable. On top, we have combined some sort of new things. From a network perspective, think in terms of east-west protection. Let's say the container example I provided in terms of, can we ensure that, let's say, within a single subnet, let's say we are talking about like intra-subnet level security. I have a bunch of containers. I have a bunch of virtual machines. Now, even when they talk to each other, I want to make sure there is a firewall in the path. Like how can we go integrate into those container networking architecture, like different types of CNIs to figure out, we can work hand in hand with that. And even microperimeters in terms of, hey, two virtual machines talking to each other, traditionally, and even if you put a route table at the L3 level, unless it hits the router, traffic doesn't come to the firewall, which means we have to go inside the subnet to solve the problem. And we have done that. Sure. We call that solution microperimeter. That way, it's kind of lightweight traffic redirection model to ensure that customers can get east-west protection at the workload level as well. And the biggest of all is the AI runtime security. So with AIRS, you not only get all of the network security functions we talked about, we also get AI runtime protection. What I really mean by that is if these applications that we're trying to protect are also talking to LLM models, and LLM models are unpredictable by nature, right? Whereas in network, we really want to make sure that things are predictable from security and safety perspective. Like what is going into LLM? Is that secure? Is that sensitive data that should never reach public domain, for example? Or what is coming out of the LLM? Is that even safe for our end users? Right? Say we are rolling out for end customers. Or even if it's an employee-facing AI productivity tool, right? Is LLM guiding them in the right direction? Could this open up some type of branding issue for us, right? So there are multiple aspects, newer aspects that AI security and safety frameworks have made us think about. So instead of kind of having our customers look at yet another tool for this, we thought, hey, if network sees everything, the network is also seeing all this AI traffic as well, why can't we add intelligence into our firewalls to also figure out all these prompt logics, right? LLM prompts, and figure out whether it's safe and secure. Of course, we have other ways of securing AI. We have the API detection model, shift left model, supply chain vulnerabilities, and whatnot. But for the network audience we are talking to today, yeah, the same firewalls, the VM series firewalls, we have evolved them into Prisma AIRS now that provides you with centralized control of all things AI as well.
Well, you know, on this topic in particular, I'm a host of the Virginia Networking User Group, or the Virginia NUG. We had a meeting last night, you know, the night before we recorded this conversation, where one of the audience members asked, does your IT department in your company actually restrict what models you use and how you use them? And only about 10% of the audience actually raised their hand. So there's a lot of work to do from a policy perspective, and then employing the tools that you're bringing to the table to actually enforce policy and protect what's happening in enterprises all over the place. Are you seeing similar results, or do you feel like the industry is further ahead than just 10%? What do you think?
It really depends on who we are talking to, right? There are some definitely that are ahead of the curve. They have like the AI consortium within their enterprise, and they are figuring out all the way from what type of models are allowed. Even once those models come in, how are we kind of providing access, kind of providing this model garden approach, saying that, hey, only the right type of applications can go talk to the models. And if they're kind of fine tuning those models, what type of data sources can they be hooked up to, right? Some have definitely better controls and some are still figuring out like what type of beast it is, right? So that is where at Palo Alto Networks, we are giving them the flexibility of choices. If they're coming at us from a network first perspective, where they really want to control what goes in, what comes out of the network, and that's how they want to control AI, we have solutions like Prisma AIRS firewall that I talked about. They're kind of going towards the other direction and saying that, hey, I want to work with my AI developers, and that is where I want to control many of these things in terms of model access and agentic access, permissions level, and more importantly, even runtime protection, getting the right verdict in terms of, is the model responding with the right thing or is it hallucinating? There are so many other things to think about. So we kind of provide them, here is a shift-left approach and here is a network-centric approach. And that really helps kind of depending on where you're coming from. And sure, that is a wide set of audiences that we're talking to.
Well, you've certainly opened my eyes to some additional things to keep on top of. There's plenty of opportunity for us to do a deeper dive on multiple topics here someday. I'd love to explore that. As we close this episode down, anything you want to reemphasize or that we missed in the conversation that you want to make sure we get on the episode today?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to bring this back into the visibility and understanding of risk posture, especially in cloud networks, multi-cloud networks. This has been a hard problem to solve. And there have been like point products just talks about like one aspect of this, and customers have tried different ways. And please look at cloud and AI risk assessment, the Clara tool that we have launched. That way you could run a complementary assessment in terms of what is running in your network, cloud network, what is talking to each other. And once you're past that phase and you're kind of trying to figure out the best way to get this back in control in terms of right level of protection, please talk to us about multi-cloud security fabric, which is industry's first software firewall fabric solution that works across multiple clouds, right? Public cloud, private cloud, edge cloud, and to Scott's point, neo cloud as well.
Yep. Well, look, Monty, thank you for being here today. As Monty called out, please take a look at the Clara Cloud and AI Risk Assessment tool. That link is in the show notes. Thank you so much for being with us on Total Network Operations today, Monty.
Excellent. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, operators, thank you for tuning in. We'd love your feedback and ideas. You can contact me via DM on LinkedIn or send us a follow-up at packetpushers.net/follow-up. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on Total Network Operations.